Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 on the FM side in Richmond. Appreciate you listening to us on the RVA. And we are streaming live on the Odyssey app, wherever you may be. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cake, CB, and JP. That is the foursome. But joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline to talk some Final Four is Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News College Hoops writer. He's in Phoenix for the Final Four. Hey, Mike.
Morning, guys.
Thanks for joining us. How is it out there?
Well, it's warm, so there's that. It's a better setup than it was when the Final Four was here in 2017, because we are situated basically adjacent to State Farm Stadium, where the last time we were here, the media hotel was, I think, about 35, 40 minutes away from the stadium. So it was an odd setup for sure then. Your producer said, "How's Phoenix?" And I said, "I have no idea because I haven't seen Phoenix. I flew into the airport and then came to Glendale, and now I'm in Glendale and probably won't ever get to see it." So it's the nature of having a tournament here or in Arlington when it's at AT&T Stadium. You don't really experience the place that you're technically supposed to be.
Hey, Mike, take us back to the first Final Four that you traveled to cover. Like how different it is now. Obviously, you mentioned, you know, it being played at AT&T Stadium and there at State Farm Stadium. I certainly remember the days when the Final Four was held in actual basketball arenas instead of cavernous 80,000 seat football stadiums. But what was the first Final Four you went to cover?
Well, it was in 1988 at Kemper Arena in Kansas City. And it was obviously an exciting thing. I was very relatively young in the business then. I had gone the previous year as a fan. The only time I ever have done that in 87 to the Superdome and saw the Indiana-Syracuse championship game, et cetera. And so then it was in Kemper. And I remember having an argument with, at that point, so I had a little foresight there, having an argument with a sports writer from the Philadelphia Daily News, a pleasant argument, about the fact that it was in Kemper, and I thought that it should stay in places like the Superdome. And as someone who had sat in the upper deck, I could vouch for the idea that it was one of the great fan experiences of my life, and that I thought more people should have that experience. I don't think it belongs in basketball arenas because I know what it would do to ticket prices. People talk about now the women's Final Four tickets being even more expensive than the men's, but aren't really factoring in too often the fact that there are 65,000 seats available here and 20 there. And that plays a role in what it would cost. If the men's Final Four were in a basic basketball arena, the tickets would be too expensive for any regular fan to afford them. You'd either have to say to yourself that you don't care that someone's willing to give you $5,000 for those seats and you're going to do it anyway, or you'd have to succumb and say, yeah, I've got to sell them because I can't give up that much money.
So when you look at the matchups, Yeah, we'll start with the Purdue matchup against NC State. You got two bigs there, all right? The big men are back for this particular Final Four because you got Klingon and UConn too. But, you know, Zach Edey has been kind of the story all year on the men's side. And, you know, he's so tough to guard because of his size. And those guards have played really well this year as opposed to last year. I mean, Braden Smith was playing like a freshman a lot last year, making mistakes. He had trouble getting the ball to Edey at key times, turnovers, bad shots, that kind of stuff. He's playing more like a junior, senior this year. Lawyer as well. But just talk about that matchup, Purdue-NC State, especially Edey and Burns.
Yeah, by the end of last year, I think Braden was really worn out. I think Fletcher, too, although I thought Fletcher was ready to break out in that FDU game, but nobody would give him the ball. They didn't trust him by then. He made a few shots in that game and might have been able to rescue them if they depended on him more. But he'd had a really, really rough February. And this year, Braden's been terrific start to finish. And he's really made a difference. And he'll be a big factor in Saturday's game for sure. The Edey matchup against Burns is interesting because I was on Big Ten Network with Robbie Hummel last night on the Big Show, and it's still airing now. If anybody is inclined, he mentioned the idea that he thought that early in the game that Purdue might avoid the Edey matchup against Burns because they don't want to put him in trouble of getting fouls. And they might just use Trey Kaufman-Wren to guard against DJ Burns and what he's capable of doing. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was an interesting point, one I hadn't really thought about much, because obviously you want to have your best defender play the other team's best offensive player. But you want to have him available to do that at the key times in the game. One of the keys for Zach is that his stamina, he has done amazing things with his body. He's a much better athlete than he gets credit for. And he can go a long time.
He
doesn't need much rest. And that's not true with DJ. DJ's right. minutes are somewhat limited so that he can rest. And he's had times where he gets into foul trouble. So DJ's going to probably have to guard Zach most of the time just out of the fact that they only have so many guys available. Diarra only weighs, I think, 210 pounds, 215 pounds, and I don't know how he could match up with Zach. So I think DJ's going to have to be in that matchup. And how does he stay out of foul trouble? Because they absolutely have to have him on the floor.
Do you think Purdue is going to I'll flip it around. Do you think NC State is going to try and double and triple Edey when he gets the ball on the block?
You know, I think that's not really been what they've done in these tournaments.
Right.
And so that's – I don't know whether that's what they'll want to do here, because one of the keys to NC State's success in the ACC tournament and this one has been their tremendous three-point defense. They allowed Louisville to shoot 50%, 51 I think it was, in the first game. And then every opponent since, I think that's eight in a row, none of them has reached 35 from three-point range, 35%. And that's not a great number, and most of them have been in the 20s. And so I don't know that they're going to want to give that up. The more open shots you give to Fletcher Lawyer and Lance Jones, et cetera, the more they're going to knock down. They are good shooters. Statistically, Purdue's one of the top two or three three-point shooting teams in the country. They can go cold, but if you allow them to shoot comfortably, they're probably not going to have a rough day.
Yeah, you just never know how these teams are going to shoot it in a huge, you know, football stadium with the backdrops. Is this Purdue's best team ever?
I think that's to be established. Remember 1969, they played in the championship game and one of their guys got hurt. I don't think they would have beaten UCLA anyway. That was Kareem's last year as a Bruin. I doubt that they would have won that. But that team right now is still the standard for Purdue. But this team is doing a lot to erase that. When you get to the Final Four, it's more difficult to make the Final Four than it was in 1969. You have to win four games to get there. You have to play a balanced region as opposed to just the teams in your region. It's a much more difficult journey than it was back in the day. And so to get here was pretty impressive. But I think they probably have to at least play for the title to be sure that they eclipsed 1969.
I mean, Katie had some great teams, especially when he had Robinson, but never got to a Final Four. So,
no.
And I can't remember when Big Dog averaged 31 a game back in, I don't know what year that was, early 90s.
That was 94.
94. Do you remember what their seed was?
They were a one.
They were a one,
and
yeah.
They were, I think they ended up around 34-3 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they wound up, they blew through Kansas in the Sweet 16 down in Knoxville. I was there. And then they played against a very inspired Grant Hill. Grant Hill against Marquette had a really rough first half. And I've been told since that that Coach K gave him the lecture of all lectures about what he meant. And Grant, and really, from that moment on, Grant played, never stopped being dominant. I mean, he went out and he dominated Marquette in the second half, and then he absolutely locked down Glenn Robinson in the regional final, and then he was great at the Final Four.
Yep.
And then, of course, he had the unbelievable Hall of Fame NBA career. So I think halftime of that Marquette game in Knoxville was, like, pivotal in his career.
Talking to Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News College Hoops writer, who's in Phoenix for the Final Four. So let's get over to UConn. You wrote about how difficult it is to repeat as champions. And I want you to elaborate a little bit, because I know you wrote about the Gators doing it in 2006 and Billy Donovan and psychology. How difficult is it to repeat now in college basketball?
Oh, it's almost impossible. And it has been. I mean, I talked about the Kareem era, and then Sidney Wicks took over for Kareem, and then Walton took over for Sidney Wicks. And in that period of time, they won, I think, seven in a row. And so it seemed like kind of something that you did. But that was a very unusual period in college basketball. It's only happened a handful of times. Oklahoma State in the late 40s, Kentucky in the early 50s, San Francisco in the mid-50s with Bill Russell, then Cincinnati early 60s, and then UCLA. Duke and Florida. And so it's really, it's not something that's come up a lot in 90 years of the NCAA tournament. But what makes UConn's situation different than everyone, just about everyone I just described, is that the other teams did not change much from one year to the next in order to continue winning those championships. Even in that UCLA period that you lose Kareem, or you lose Sidney Wicks, you lose Bill Walton, three of the top 30 players in the history of the game, and the literal top two in that stretch. Even in that period, they never turned over the same level of talent that this UConn team did a year ago. UConn lost 75% of their scoring from last season's team.
It's crazy.
And now look where they are. That is astounding. Now, if they go on and win these next two games, It will be unlike any repeat that's ever happened, because I haven't done statistically the numbers on USF with Russell, because I know they lost Casey Jones but they kept Bill Russell. So, I mean, that's a factor. UConn's best player that they kept was Alex Caravan. I mean, yeah. Terrific college player, but he's not Bill Russell.
But you're right. I mean, they're just so good. And then, so with Bama in their last two wins against Clemson and Carolina, they've hit a ton of threes, right? Because that's the way Nate Oates wants to play. They hit, I don't know, 27 threes, I think, combined in those two games. I thought Grant Nelson was going to get in foul trouble when they played Carolina against Baycott. I was clearly wrong. He outplayed him. And then obviously Sears and Estrada have been really good. And they're just, I mean, I guess anything could happen. I just think it's going to be very difficult to be able to jack up that many threes, certainly at that percentage against a UConn defense, and especially down low with Klingon. He's just so good defensively. Your thoughts on the matchup?
There's been a lot of talk about the layups or threes approach. How do you comfortably think that you're going to get layups after what Klingon did to Illinois, where he just erased every layup attempt or impacted every layup attempt so that Illinois shot, I don't remember what the number was, but it was below 30% at the rim.
Right.
I don't know that I've seen that in too many games. Maybe some of the games I covered with Kenyon Martin back in my Cincinnati days. I remember he blocked six shots in a row by Memphis at the start of a home game they had in their league at that time. And maybe that's comparable. But it just doesn't – you don't see very many players dominate inside the way Donovan did last Saturday. I think it's going to be hard for Alabama. One of the things I've been saying, you mentioned that 27 combined threes. I've been saying that if they could make 27 in this game alone, I think they've got a shot.
Right. So you think it's Purdue and UConn, if you had to put money on it.
I do. Yeah. I give NC State a better shot than I do Alabama because of DJ and how good he is and how good that defense has been on the perimeter. I think Purdue ultimately will find a way to get enough done. The thing that might get NC State is the depth issue inside. When Tennessee had Tobe Awaka get into foul trouble and ultimately foul out in 14 minutes, and they weren't happy with their starter, Jonas Adu, and how he matched up with Edie. And they had a freshman that they went to who actually played reasonably well. So they had three options, all big, all reasonably good defenders, all at least physically capable of as for anybody else staying in the matchup against Edie. NC State doesn't have that. I mean, they have three guys that are basically big guys, Burns Diarra, and then one backup.
Middlebrook.
So it's going to be hard. Yeah, Middlebrook. It's going to be hard for them to not get into foul trouble and not have depth issues in the front court.
Well, have fun out there. Always love talking college hoops with you, Mike. Appreciate the time, man.
My pleasure.
Yep.
All
right,
Mike.
Appreciate it, man.
I know we got to go to break, but I was going to ask him about the transfer portal. It's incredible to think that Bama's backcourt, right? They're in the Final Four. Their backcourt. One guy played at Ohio U before he transferred to Alabama. The other guy, Aaron Estrada, played at Hofstra. Mm-hmm. So you got Ohio U and Hofstra now starting backcourt for Alabama in the Final Four.
It's crazy.
It's
like
nuts.
Where they come from.
I know.
Yeah.
Estrada's on his fourth school.
Yeah. I mean, those are not necessarily hoop haters.
It's a different world, man.
Yeah. But you get a little experience and you develop.
Yeah.
And then
you play 4 or 5
out.
Years. You're stronger. You're older. Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, four schools, just one more than you went to.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hey, everybody's
pretty close.
Path, okay?
Pretty close. Pretty close.
All right. Got to take a break. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
All right.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the Junkies world, whether it's the Four Junkies or the Boys Behind the Glass,
mm-hmm, yes,
there are some lovers of golf and LIV Golf. And this came up this week with a lot of these players saying that fans are losing interest because of the whole LIV versus PGA Tour, and the PGA Tour events don't have some of these top players, and nobody's watching LIV. Like, they've kind of been forgotten, maybe not by the diehard LIV followers, but nobody's really seeing what's happening with Brooks Koepka or Phil Mickelson on the regular.
Right. Until they come here to play the majors.
McIlroy was weighing in. I guess the ratings are down 20% overall.
And PGA Tour? Yeah, they're down everywhere, and they never have gotten ratings on LIV.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, part of it is just that none of these guys are Tiger. And that Tiger really almost single-handedly moved the needle. So part of it is certainly that the talent is dispersed. There's no question about that. There's so many, well, these things, it's a lot of it has to do with technology, and I think that there's some truth to that. But
some of these
Live
guys now are talking about that they got to get back together with the PGA, which I guess is inevitable,
well,
right?
I think they have always said that. Always said that we're going to find a way to make it all work. I actually think that the Live guys have no interest in going back to the PGA Tour because they're loving life.
Right, yeah. They're getting paid more.
They don't have to go play in the small tournaments.
They have no cuts. But if it folded, then maybe they would change their opinion.
They only play 3 days, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They haven't expanded it to four?
No.
DeChambeau said, the fans are what drive this sport. If we don't have fans, we don't have golf. We're not up here entertaining. That's the most important thing as of right now. There's got to be a way to come together, and it needs to happen fast.
Well, the fact that Monahan went out there and got $3 billion to prevent some of these other guys from leaving was a huge, huge get. That was a huge get.
It stopped the bleeding for now. It did stop the bleeding for now.
I mean, $1.5 billion of that's going to the players
in
tears.
Where did you get the huge cash infusion from?
There was a lot of different investors.
Private equity.
Yes, a lot of different guys.
There was a whole group that bought in.
If that didn't happen, you probably would have seen more guys jet over to Live.
But I actually like both. I like both, and I'm trying to find Live more, to be honest with you. In fact, this morning I was already looking for it, but they don't tee off until like 1 something in Miami, especially with Anthony Kim. Anthony Kim, as Jason has said, may not move the needle for Cakes and JP and the average sports fan.
No, I think Anthony Kim is more interesting than Cam Smith.
Okay, I think that's true.
And Cam Smith has won a major.
Cam Smith is a far greater player right now. But,
I don't know. I mean, ever since he's been on Live, I haven't heard of anything about Cam Smith.
No, that's fair.
No, but he's a better player.
He's a better player.
That's not even close.
Those guys, they didn't just go to Live and then suck. They're still great players. You know what was amazing? Did you see this, Valdez?
But are they practicing as much? Like, this I don't know.
I'm going to give you a great example
of that. Is Dustin Johnson, who went to Live, is he still at the top of his game?
I don't think he's at the top of his game, but he's on the downside of his career. But this is a great answer to this. So, and this went viral the other day. I don't know if Jason saw it, but I bet you Valdez did. Mickelson was at the range. I don't know where, if it was in Florida or was in San Diego, wherever he lives, in the pouring rain.
Really?
And they have video of him all day grinding. And they said this was literally, like, imagine like one of our worst days, like on Saturday, whatever. It was one of those days.
And
he had his rain gear on.
Right.
He was hitting balls. He said he was hitting balls for like 3 hours at the range. Then he did short game work. And then he did putting, and he just spent the whole day. And they were like, unbelievable work ethic for a guy who's 54, playing on Live.
He's G'd up.
Yeah.
He's got so much money.
Hundreds of millions. And he literally wasted a day in the pouring. It wasn't a wait, but I mean, you know what I mean? It was like an awful day.
Let's see how.
I don't think they all do that.
Let's see how these guys play next week, because next week matters.
How many of the Live guys are playing in the Masters?
Handful.
There's like 12 or 13. Yeah. There's a decent amount. They just did a photo of all the guys that are playing in the Masters. And here's the thing.
Oh, yeah. I saw that photo. I was trying to figure out who some of those guys were.
Competing very, very well in the majors.
I mean, Brooks Koepka is going to care next week. John Rahm is going to care.
Yeah. And I think
Phil Mickelson is going to care.
I believe it or not, I think we all know this is like being competitors. They actually, even though the public may not care, they actually care about their teammate and they don't want to let their team guys down.
I don't understand this. They don't care. I don't understand that they don't care thing.
I guess the idea is I don't have to work as hard because I'm going to get guaranteed money. But I think the counter to that is I don't want Brooks Koepka making fun of me like he did Matthew Wolf, if I don't perform. You know what I mean? Like, I think these guys, the team aspect is a motivator. Plus, they're just driven competitors,
By the way, I can't remember the last time there was such a big gap in the Masters odds from the favorite to the second guy.
So is it Scheffler and
Scheffler is like 4 or 5 to 1, and then Rory's, 10, 11 to 1.
The Rory's laughable.
And Rory hasn't played well this year.
Yeah, I mean,
he's had a terrible year.
Well, it's not just Rory. Brandel Chamblee did a whole thing about the top players in the OWGR.
Yeah, they're not playing well.
They're not playing well this year.
You're right.
Like Cantlay is losing strokes to the field every week. Shoffley's losing strokes to the field every week. All of these top players are playing like butt.
Yep. Zalatoris hasn't played that well.
And then I think Brandel Chamblee was asking you, who do you think is going to win the Masters? And he said, if Scotty can putt, he'll win by 8 strokes. If Scotty can't putt, he'll win by 4 strokes. If Scotty loses his putter, he'll win by 1 stroke.
Yeah. I mean,
that's clearly
it's far and away Scotty's tournament
he's
to lose.
He's clearly the favorite, yeah.
Because all of these top players are just awful this year.
Yeah, but, you know, in a given week, who knows who gets hot and who plays well. And I wouldn't count out a guy like John Rahm, who's the 13-1.
I would never count him out. He's way more likely to win than Rory.
And he cares.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah, so he's going to be right. It's going to be interesting next week.
So I have the live picture that you're talking about of the guys, the Masters. Yeah. It looks like there's 13 of them.
I think I can name most of them. Maybe 10 of them.
I can recognize most of them. I'm a casual golf fan. Who's this donk, Chase? Jason's going to know who
he's
he is.
He's definitely going to know.
There's one guy that I didn't know in there. The tall guy in the back.
Yes, well,
I don't know that tall guy in the back. I didn't know
who's
that
this short knocker over here?
That's Hatton.
Hatton.
I knew everyone but the tall guy in the back, to be honest with you.
He won the Masters. He's the Brit who won the Masters, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Oh, Willett?
No, not Danny Willett.
And then this guy.
Schwartzel.
I know. That's Neiman.
Okay, Neiman and then.
Schwartzel. I'm sorry, Schwartzel.
Schwartzel.
Yeah, Schwartzel.
That's South Africa.
That's South Africa.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the guy up in the upper left, I have no idea who that guy is.
I didn't know who that guy was either, to be honest with you. Valdez probably knows him. Valdez
or upper right, sorry.
Upper right. Is that Thomas Peters?
Might be.
JP's not going to know.
Yeah, it might be. He's a tall guy.
Yeah, that's the tall.
Yeah, it might be. Anyway, Valdez, I don't think we've talked about this.
I think there's still a lot of validity to, for a casual golf fan, like I'll watch the Masters. I'm interested in the majors, okay? I'm not going to watch the Texas Open, which I think is what's happening this
weekend.
You're
not going to watch that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
you're not
always
watch.
Been something right. That's just like golf guys.
Oh, it's a signature event.
I haven't. I have no idea if Patrick Reed is good anymore or Bubba Watson.
They're all good. Bubba, not so much. Bubba's been hurt and stuff.
Was it last Masters? Patrick Reed was.
He was in the mix.
The LIV guys have destroyed the notion already, in my opinion, that they're going to go to LIV and be irrelevant. In the majors, because they've competed, they've won majors. I think that narrative is shot. Now, maybe 5 years from now, that'll be proven otherwise. But I think,
outside of the majors,
some of these guys,
you're not hearing about any of their golf performances.
But also,
you're not hearing about the article is basically saying you're not hearing about the PGA as well because the ratings for the PGA are down substantially.
And I argue it doesn't.
But maybe if you put them all back together, you would.
When Peter Malnati wins, when all these other guys win, that nobody, it's not that.
Week when Jaeger, you know, obviously Scheffler has a 9-footer to force a playoff, and he probably beats him
and
in a playoff.
And he also missed the 1-footer the day before.
Missed the 1-footer. But I thought the fact that Jaeger won that, I thought that was a great story.
It is a great story, but they weren't paying that much attention to him.
But casual golf fans, the JPs and the Cakes, well, Cakes not even casual, but JP doesn't care about that.
Yeah, it does nothing. Yeah. But also there's a fatigue factor. About the whole drama between LIV versus PGA Tour, that people are kind of
sick of that too.
They're kind of just sick of it.
But I think the ultimate thing is, it's not that there's two tour; it's that there's no Tiger, and Tiger single handedly moved the needle for 30 years, and it's never been less Tiger.
You got to get used to it.
Yeah,
there's no more Tiger anymore.
Right, and remember how much he moved the needle.
Yes, so, huge.
It's kind of like he's the Caitlin Clark of the PGA Tour.
Well, think about this. Golf has never been more popular in terms of playing.
I could ask JP for one of his hookups. I can't get a tee time.
The number of people playing golf today, I guess post-COVID and just in 2024, has never been higher. So how does that correlate to people not watching golf on TV? It doesn't make sense.
Right.
So everyone's trying to figure out, well, if golf's never been more popular in terms of playing, why is no one watching? And it's a lot of those factors. There's no big guy like Tiger to watch. You have these lesser guys winning tournaments. You have fatigue from a PGA LIV fiasco and the negotiations going on with that. All of that wrapped up is why.
I think a lot of people are going to watch the Masters, though.
I think so because
it's a one-off.
It's a
standalone.
Yeah, it's the LSU Iowa.
But it's not going to do earth-shattering ratings unless Tiger's in the mix
or Phil
Rory or somebody like that.
Praying Tiger makes the weekend.
Now the good news is they always have elite names because that's all who's in the damn thing.
Well, not if that guy who's standing in
Thomas Peters is winning, it ain't going to be good.
That's going to be a problem for the next.
But
if it's a runaway.
Yeah. Well, Tiger runaway, it'd be good.
Well,
I know that we've ruled that out.
Yeah.
I know we're ruling that out.
I just want to make the cut.
Me too. That's all I ever want.
I also have a theory that if Tiger wins the Masters, men everywhere are going to stop having sex.
Well, that's one I know is wrong. That's one of your worst theories in
history.
I rejected that immediately yesterday when you threw that
out of hand.
Right. But Chamblee's right. I mean, about the guys who are not playing well on the PGA Tour. If you look at the, top 20 guys on the PGA Tour that are in the Masters, they're just not playing great golf. Rory's not playing well. Spieth isn't playing well. Zalatoris has been Hovland not playing well.
Cantlay's not playing well. Dude, all these guys are losing strokes to the field. They're losing strokes to numbers.
Yeah, my only theory is that
Hideki's playing pretty well.
My only theory is
Morikawa
has sucked. These guys make so much money now that there is a little bit of leakage in probably work ethic.
They're so loaded. Your triumphant Old Glory DC rugby side returns to the home pitch this Saturday as they welcome in RFC Los Angeles to the Maryland Soccerplex. Feel the adrenaline as Old Glory ups the flags and pounds the pitch, bringing heart-stopping moments and the unbeatable spirit of Major League Rugby. Just minutes from DC, it's football without the stopping and soccer without the flopping. And tickets start at just $20. Old Glory DC is raising the bar, so get ready to raise your voice this Saturday at 5 p.m. at the Maryland Soccerplex. Score your tickets now at oldglorydc.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Coming up at the end of the show, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to go see Live and Stone Temple Pilots at Jiffy Lube Live. So you want to stay tuned for that. Also later today, You don't want to miss Grant and Danny with Austin Eckler, new Commanders running back, of course, brought over from the Chargers.
By the way,
real quick, the player, the golfer we're talking about, it wasn't Thomas Peter, it was Adrian Meronk.
Ah, okay.
Who's a live player that's in the Masters. The tall dude that we didn't recognize.
No, nothing Meronk. About that person.
Yeah, Meronk.
I know you wouldn't be able to sleep.
He got snubbed from the Ryder Cup.
Okay, well, you know something about this person. I do not. I do know it's time for Chasing 895. Alex Ovechkin scored his 849th career goal in a 4-1 loss to the Pens last night. Closes to within 45 of Wayne Gretzky. He now has 27 goals on the season, quickly closing in on the 18th 30-goal season of his career. Ovi's 19 goals since January 27th are tied for the fourth most in the NHL.
It's carried in by LaPierre. Capitals try to get something here. Back down low. Picked up by Milano. It's a 5-on-4. Sandin letting it go. On the far wing. In front. Ovechkin scores! Alex Ovechkin, as time expired, puts it in to get Washington on the board. Have mercy. It's 3-1.
Thank you, John Walton, for that call. The only highlight from last night's game, if you're a Caps fan, Chasing 895 is presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local, put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information.
Yesterday was a marker in something we've been talking about a lot.
Okay.
Yesterday marked 3 weeks until the NFL draft. So we have been debating
what
the Commanders are going to do with the number two pick for weeks and weeks.
Yes.
And yesterday marked 3 weeks. And there was some news, although I would say still speculation yesterday about the pick. Adam Schefter on his podcast said, I think the signs continue to point to Jaden Daniels being the second overall pick at number two. Caleb Williams, one, Jaden Daniels, two, and then the New England Patriots would be on the clock at number three at the possibility of taking Drake May. And some people could say, he's just speculating, but when Adam Schefter speaks, he's usually plugged in.
That's our perception. I don't know.
He whiffs on things, too.
Right. I would love
Has
anybody ever ID'd, like, fade Adam Schefter? Like, is anybody, like, somebody should do that and see, like, when his predictions, you know, how they historically have gone. Because I wonder. I just, deep down in my heart, I'm still buying this notion that Peters had a fifth round grade on him and a year ago, and now he's going to take him two overall. I find that hard to believe.
Schefter says it's hard for me to see Washington passing on Daniels. Wasn't he the guy who said that Ben Johnson wasn't a lock? Like, everybody was
Schefter.
On. Yeah, I mean, there were other
somebody
people. I saw Ben Standing tweeting about this yesterday.
Somebody did say, yeah, it's not a lock. Okay, it might have been Schefter.
I think Schefter might have been the one who said.
It was Schefter.
Yeah.
If there's other guys, believe me, it's not just going
to
be.
It's not set in stone.
Yeah.
Schefter was.
I remember hearing the audio.
He wasn't the first voice, but I think he was the loudest voice.
Uh-huh. I mean, I think there were others, you know, locally who said it wasn't a done deal for Ben Johnson. But kind of the perception for weeks, you know, for people like Cakes and all of us, was it's going to be Ben Johnson.
I'm so desperate for Ben Johnson. I'm cool now with Dan Quinn. I've come to grips with it.
I think
it's
people are
good.
Totally over Ben
but
Johnson.
I did want me some Ben Johnson.
I think the Cliff Kingsbury hire kind of, because you know he's going to sling it, and he's a modern football guy. Like you know,
he
what
won't
I mean?
Sling it as much as Bieniemy.
Yeah, Bieniemy
sling it that much.
Bieniemy just didn't care.
I watched.
He gave zero F's about it.
I watched
slinging the ball.
I watched a pretty detailed YouTube breakdown yesterday by I don't know what this kid's credentials are. I'm calling him a kid. He's probably in his mid-20s or 30s from The Ringer. Mm-hmm. And it was all about Drake May, and it was breaking down like a ton of plays and like what his first read is, second read, what the defense is doing and all that stuff. And the word which he said like, if you had to break it down to one word on Drake May as compared to some of these other quarterbacks, and it's aggressive. Mm-hmm. In that he goes for the deeper shots more than almost anybody else. Now, some people say Jaden Daniels has the best deep ball amongst the top quarterbacks.
Yeah, but that's different than maybe taking shots over the middle of the field kind of thing.
And then he, you know, highlighted some of the things that we've talked about that, you know, he didn't have the best receivers. Like some
offensive
of his best plays. Like
great.
He showed one of the plays, which was a bust. Like he's like, here's an out, and Drake's looking there. He decides not to go to it. Now he's got a crosser over the middle where the receiver is supposed to sit in a window, and he keeps running, so he can't throw there. And he's like, and so then Drake is looking at the deep shot next. Like, you see his progressions, and he ends up getting sacked because his offensive line, which was double teaming one guy, lost to the one guy in the double team.
Oh, that's
terrible. Well, I mean, look, he tried to do too much. And you can look at the stats. Gar, look, his stats dipped from 2 years ago to this past year. Well, it's because he was trying to do a lot. His best receiver was out for the first five games. Offensive line wasn't great. They had a new offensive coordinator. You know, a lot of people will look at that and go, all right, well, he shouldn't be the number two pick. But You know, if he was playing for LSU.
Are you personally
going to
be sad?
If Drake May was playing for LSU and Jaden Daniels was playing for Duke, who's going to win the Heisman?
You mean for North Carolina?
I mean for North Carolina. Who's going to win the Heisman?
Probably Drake May.
Or maybe Caleb. I don't know. But it wouldn't have been Jaden Daniels.
Are you personally going to be sad if the Commanders don't take Drake May?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No. I just want him to do well. Whoever they do take, I want him to play really well.
Trust me, there are people out there who are very entrenched with who they want to take. That I honestly feel like they're going to be upset.
I don't know if they're going to root against, but they're going to be very disappointed. I want them to come to a consensus who's going to be the best talent for the next dozen years.
Whoever it is, they may not come to a consensus.
Peters is going to have to make the final call. It's on Peters.
Whoever it is, I just want them to work out because I was pro Dan Quinn for the entire offseason.
Salisbury.
And I was pro
Go
Adam Peters.
Nobody wants him to.
So whoever it is, if it's May, if it's Daniels, if it's JJ, whoever it is,
it's a fascinating decision.
Nobody wants him to hit more than me.
Hey, I know you.
It's a fascinating decision. I am. I mean, I'm,
if you were to
I'm,
make the I'm pick, res- who would you pick?
I'm going to take Drake May. He's higher on my board.
But as long as the pick doesn't turn into Trey Lance,
correct,
that's what you're hoping for.
But I do
they're
think
they're not going to be as bad as Trey Lance.
I do think with Drake May, it may take a little longer. Matt Miller, who's a scout who writes for ESPN, he just wrote this. This came out just a couple hours ago. The question was, it's asked of some of their insiders, like Jordan Reed, who's another draft analyst, and Field Yates, who used to be a scout analyst. And the question was, who is the hardest prospect to rank right now?
Mm-hmm.
His answer was Drake May.
Because?
He said, projecting where Drake May will ultimately be selected in the first round, somewhere in the top six picks, is much easier than deciding his grade.
Well, he's definitely going in the top six.
You got to let it play
out.
And
this is what he points out. He goes, he only started 26 games in college, and his turnovers, 16 interceptions, and missed throws scare me.
Yeah, but how many touchdowns did he have to interceptions? He had a boatload, right?
Probably had 65.
I mean, his touchdown interception ratio is great.
He had 37. Who are you talking about?
Drake May.
Yeah. 37 and maybe 27.
His touchdown interception ratio is great. I wouldn't be too concerned about
that. Yeah, but what he said is, for him as a scout, he said it's the most difficult evaluation when it comes to balancing his upside with his current ability.
Well, listen, somehow Zach Kruger has wormed his way into my life. And I read his stuff.
He's a good guy.
No, he's a nice guy. I know. But I read everything he sends me, and he's got me locked in. I'm not disparaging him. I'm just saying this guy I didn't even know a week ago.
The pressure to sack percentage.
Jaden Daniels is literally one of the all-time worst ever. Yes. And there are a couple guys like Joe Burrow's the biggest outlier in the history of the stat, basically, and Lamar. But pretty much everyone else is brutal.
But at least
they're like awful.
At least he'd be coming to a stout offensive line.
He's way beyond the threshold.
I know.
So I mean, I that's gonna be
right.
That's
a red flag for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I think he's more exciting. But I think if my balls were on the line, I think I'd probably take May or McCarthy.
So much steam on McCarthy.
You're flipping. You're flipping on me.
No. I like Daniels.
What about your guy Penix?
He likes four guys. He's taken like seven different guys.
I know. It's Penix.
And he's going to pass it back.
He's named five guys he's going to take.
No. I know, because I don't know. At least I admit I don't know.
None of us know.
But Jaden Daniels, just understand where I stand. He's by far the most exciting. It'd be great for us from a radio standpoint. But if my balls were on the line and I was the GM, I probably would take Mayor McCarthy. I'd be scared of them.
But it's whoever
because their job is not to pick exciting.
I know.
There is a difference.
It seems like whoever's being talked about that week, if a scout comes out, because that's my guy, or I'm anti whoever.
Yeah,
it seems like that's the guy you're focused on.
No, Mayor McCarthy. Mayor McCarthy. That's what I would take.
What about 2 weeks ago?
I would take Mayor McCarthy. It would have been Daniels.
JJ or Daniels.
It's Daniels, but I'm off of Daniels because he's got the worst pressure to sack ratio in the history of the world.
Got to update the boards on Monday.
Yeah, Jason, closer to the draft, we'll have everyone make their
official pick.
So we can hold it over your head.
I think mine's not going to change.
Pick.
No, we got. Yeah, we'll turn in our cards. I think I'm turning in Drake May. I put it up at Junks Radio. It was Benjamin Solak who had this big breakdown on YouTube of Drake May. Hey, right now, 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with two tickets to go see Live and Stone Temple Pilots, the Jubilee Tour with special guest Soul Asylum. Wednesday, September 4th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, Visit thefandc.com/events. That is all courtesy of Live Nation. Remember, Austin Eckler at 3:30 with Grant and Danny for Bish, Cake, CB. I'm JP. Have a great weekend. Be Mitch and Finley up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.